They're not good enough to start. They're not even good enough to play. But they do talk a good game. So come join Lou and Jose from the sidelines, where all the best sports discussions happen anyway. Welcome in to the Bench Warmers Podcast.
Welcome into the program, everyone. I am Lou Ruggieri. That is Jose Ortiz. And this is the Bench Warmers Podcast. Wherever, whenever, and however you happen to be listening, we appreciate you taking some time out of your day to spend it with us. We are going to try to make it worth your while. This is Season 2, Episode number 30, our 80th show in total for those keeping score at home. Go and listen to all of our previous 79 shows on iHeartRadio, Amazon, Anchor, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us along Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, at The Benchwarmers Podcast, at The BW Pod on Twitter, or go to TheBenchwarmers.com for all things show related. A big show as usual. We have a lot of football to talk because that's what we do. Week 12 picks coming up in a little bit. We have to look back and see how we did in our Week 11 picks. We're going to do a playoff preview a little bit, something of that sort anyway. We're going to talk about what the standings are right now as they sit going into Week 12, and then sort of how we feel about those standings moving forward, who might rise, who might fall, and we'll get into more of that. It is going to be the extra point in just a second. We're going to go through each and every single game just so you don't feel left out. And our one big takeaway, Jose, my one big takeaway this week was strengths and weaknesses were extremely exposed, I felt like, this week.
Yeah, well, that kind of feeds right into my big takeaway where I think the Titans and the Bills are in trouble.
Yeah,
I expect both to make the playoffs, but I don't think they have what it takes to make deep runs based on some of the glaring holes on their teams. And just kind of fits what you're saying. Like, Bills seem to be very one-dimensional. The Titans are just missing all of their offensive pieces that are good. Well, not all of them, but, you know, you're missing Derrick Henry and Julio Jones. You know, clearly a different team out there. So, yeah, weaknesses were definitely on display.
Yeah, and it's – well, let's just jump right into it. Extra point. We'll get through all the games. We'll start off on a Thursday. It was the Patriots shutting out the Atlanta Falcons. Ugh. Patriots really rolling into form. Yeah. They're now at the top of the AFC East at 7-4, which is crazy to think about. Mm. And I couldn't help watching this game. It felt a little like kind of the early Brady years at the Patriots where that's how they won. It was good defense, you know, not crazy over-the-top passing, just sort of safe checkdowns, you know, running the ball, basic, just do your job offense. And that's what this team is starting to look like.
Yeah, I mean, it's a proven formula. If you can do it the right way, and if you have the pieces – I will say, you know, while, you know, Patriots are 7-4, the Falcons are just a bad team right now. And it's hard to take too much away from this performance. I mean, outside of Kyle Pitts, the Falcons really just don't have a lot of firepower on offense. They're really, really missing Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley at this point. And, the Patriots look good, but the Falcons just...
Man, do they look bad.
Russell
Gage is like their number one receiver right now, aside from Kyle Pitts. It was the first time they were shut out, by the way, since week six of 1988. So,
yeah, I mean,
shut out at home, rather.
Even if you added Calvin Ridley back, I just, like, the Falcons need to really, really explore trading Matt Ryan this offseason, see if he can, you know, you could trade him to maybe the Browns or a team that might be looking for an upgrade at quarter, a contending team that might be looking for an upgrade at quarterback, because I just don't see it turning around here quickly.
No, they need a total rebuild. I think this was sort of their Kyle Pitts pick at what, number four overall.
Yeah,
I think they were trying to get one more run, you know, give Matt Ryan one more swan song year, and I don't think that they foresaw Julio Jones leaving kind of suddenly, mm-hmm. but. Their defense is not good. Their running game is questionable at best. I mean, Cordell Patterson is their lead rusher, so that kind of says everything you need, right? He's a special teams guy. He's not really a running back. But, yeah, not good. Falcons are 4-6, and they might not win another game. I don't know. They just do not look good. Another team that didn't look good, back to normal, my Dallas Cowboys. Scoring a whopping 3 field goals against the Kansas City Chiefs, who who are now 7-4. Chiefs won 19-9 in Arrowhead Stadium. Tyreek Hill kind of went off a little bit. He had 9 receptions for 77 yards. The Cowboys were out. Amari Cooper, Zeke was in and out of the game with a knee injury and a couple other bruises. CeeDee Lamb left in the first half with a concussion. And, you know, the Cowboys just, right after the very first play, that deep shot to Michael Gallup, when Dak just overthrew him, I said out loud to no one, here we go. And that's exactly how the game went. It was just, they were off. They were missing Tyron Smith, which is a big deal. But the running game wasn't there. The passing game wasn't there. Dak just looked off the whole game. He couldn't get on the same page with the receivers he did have. Dalton Schultz looked like the best player on the field for the Cowboys for most of the game. It was not a good showing, and the Cowboys should be embarrassed.
Really? I don't know if they should be embarrassed to lose on the road to the two-time defending AFC champions. I mean, I think you're being a little bit hard on
the
them
Chiefs
losing
defense,
a 19-9.
The Chiefs defense
have turned it around. The Chiefs defense has turned it around. You're missing your top two wide receivers. I'm not saying I expected the Cowboys. I expected the Chiefs to win this game, and they didn't. I don't think the Cowboys have any reason to be embarrassed losing a road game to the Chiefs. I don't know. Like, if that's an embarrassing loss, then there are so many teams that should be embarrassed all the time.
It's embarrassed because the Chiefs defense has not been good this season. They've gotten better recently, but when you're supposed to be, you know, the NFC version of the Chiefs offensively, and you score 9
well,
points.
Who said that? Who has called them the NFC
There's
version of the
Chiefs?
There's been
a bunch of pundits and talking heads that said that's the offense is, you know, it's the best running game and passing game combination. I mean, I've said that. I mean, they look like they have the offensive firepower to beat anyone in a shootout, and they shot themselves in the foot. I get it. They're out their top two guys, but okay, Dak, go earn your $40 million. Zeke, go earn your $90 million. No running game, nothing.
What do you think Mahomes would look like if you took away Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce? Probably like Dak Prescott just looked.
I think they'd score more than 9 points.
I don't know. They scored only 19 with those two players.
Up until maybe, I think, 2 weeks ago, the quarterback rating against, was it Daniel Sorensen, the safety for the Chiefs, was a perfect 158.3.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying...
The Chiefs defense is not... I mean, Chris Jones is good, but they're just... I don't know. They're not... They should not have looked as good as they did.
Last 3 weeks, Dallas Cowboys, 9 points. Las Vegas Raiders scored 14 points against the Chiefs. Week before that, Green Bay scored 7 points against the Chiefs. Week before that, the Giants scored 17 points. I'm not, like, they've been playing better defense in the last 4 in a row. I get it. The Cowboys probably should have had a better showing on offense. But this game basically played out exactly the way I expected it to, especially after they lost CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Cowboys now 7-3. The Chiefs are 7-4 and looking like they're getting themselves back on track. A team that fell off the tracks is the Buffalo Bills, like you alluded to earlier in the beginning of the show.
They should be embarrassed. That's an embarrassing loss.
Yes, 41-15 to the Indianapolis Colts in Buffalo. And the Colts now 6-5, the Bills 6-4. This game, I mean, it's just like you said it. I mean, the Bills just are so one-dimensional, and the Colts have the formula. I mean, the Colts are the new Titans. Jonathan Taylor is the best running back in the league. I'm just going to say that right now. I think Nick Chubb has been there, but right now I think after a four-touchdown game, you had 32 carries, 185 yards. I mean, that's a statement game right there. And the Colts if they could get one more decent wide receiver out there. I mean, T.Y. Hilton's kind of just, he's been a shell of what he's been. You know, Pittman's doing all the heavy lifting. That team could be almost unbeatable, I think.
This offseason, when the Colts signed T.Y. Hilton to a $10 million contract, I went on our Twitter page at the BW Pod, and I was like, why are you wasting $10 million on T.Y. Hilton when you could just draft a replacement who would basically equal what he gives. And I get attacked on Twitter, like, oh, you know, you're undervaluing what T.Y. Hilton brings to a team. All that locker room talk trash, oh, he's such a good locker room guy. That's all cover for a guy who's not very good. And that's what T.Y. Hilton is. I don't care what he's bringing to the locker room, brings nothing to the field. Getting sidetracked, though. The Colts, I mean, Jonathan Taylor it was just not fair what he was doing out there. He's just so good. I actually don't really think they need any other pieces. I think having a number one receiver, having a number one running back, and having a decent quarterback with a strong offensive line and a pretty decent defense, that might be enough for them to make a deep run. Obviously, getting an extra, you know, wide receiver wouldn't hurt anything, but I think they're looking good just as is right now.
Yeah, I mean, just if I'm nitpicking, I think they could use one more solid pass catcher because they don't have one. But otherwise, yeah, this team I think has the formula to beat just about anybody because, like we talked about with the Titans, you know, you have a running game that can keep the opposing offense off the field, and you have a defense that's good enough to give them to challenge that offense when they are on the field. So, and you have Carson Wentz who's playing his best football. I mean, he didn't do much in this game because he didn't have to, but he didn't lose the game, which is exactly what you want when you're that good at running the ball. Just go out there, make a couple good passes, and then don't turn it over. And that's exactly what they did. And they scored 41 points against the Bills, who were supposed to have an exceptional defense coming into this game. Another team that is a little surprising, I guess. This is, you know, like I talked about, strengths and weaknesses. I think the strength of the Ravens, obviously, is Lamar Jackson. And they narrowly eked out the lowly Bears, who are now 3-7. Ravens are 7-3, 16-13 with Huntley as their quarterback and not much else. It's just this was a rough game to watch. The Ravens did basically nothing till the fourth quarter. They had 6 points in the second quarter, and then they scored 10 points in the fourth quarter to come back. And the Bears, I mean, I don't know what to say about the Bears. They're just, this is a rebuild year, and they should just kind of look to next year and see how they can get better.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. You drafted the rookie quarterback. He's finding his way. He did hurt his ribs, and he's actually Andy Dalton's going to get the start on Thursday. But it's, you know, I would just say that the Ravens really impressed me in the sense that, look, you have Tyler Huntley as your quarterback. Last kind of a last-minute thing. You find a way to get a road win when you really – I mean, Tyler Huntley, I don't even know if he's a backup quarterback on other – like, I literally had no idea who he was until, like, 5 minutes before the game. For them to find a way to get the win, I've been pretty impressed with the Ravens over the last few games. They're 7-3 right now, looking like one of the better teams in the AFC. It's just, you know, we talked about the weaknesses. The Ravens just find different ways to beat you. And I don't know. I think their biggest weakness is probably the downfield passing game. But so far this season, they've been able to find a way to kind of get around that. And I think at full strength, this is a pretty dangerous team. Let's not forget that they're basically on a fourth string running back at this point. So,
yeah, and I think Hollywood Brown wasn't in this game either. He was hurt.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So they were pretty limited. The Bears, by the way, the Bears are 0-8 in games following their bye week since 2014.
That's a nice stat. I had not hear that one.
Yeah, it's not very good for the Bears, but it is interesting. The Ravens, I don't know. The last thing I'll say, I don't know if I buy into the Ravens being much of a threat in the playoffs. They're so dependent on Lamar Jackson. I know they won this game, but they barely beat a very low bottom feeding Bears team. And I know that they, you know, it's just, they feel kind of like a worse version of the Bills. Like they have a mobile quarterback and that's about it. And if he's not doing it, then it doesn't get done. But
it'll be an interesting exercise during our playoff, kind of a playoff primer that we have, where we kind of rank some of these teams some of the playoff teams. But either way, go ahead.
Yep, coming up in a little bit, we're doing that. A team that it still is makes the Bears look great, or the Detroit Lions.
You going there?
Yeah, Detroit Lions 0-9-1. They had the Browns on the ropes, and the Browns just barely eked out a 13-10 win against the Lions at home, by the way. And this game, yeah. I mean, this was a rough game to watch too. This was just not easy. I mean, Tim Boyle got the start for the Lions. He had two interceptions. Baker Mayfield in and out of the game. He was injured a lot. He was 15-29. He had two interceptions. Just not good. I mean, Nick Chubb, you know, the highlight, 22 carries, 130 yards. DeAndre Swift, the lone bright spot on the entire Detroit offensive and probably defensive team, really. 14 carries, 136 yards and a touchdown. But, I mean, there's nothing to say about the Lions. I thought this game was more telling about the Browns and how kind of it's such a tenuous position that they're in. It feels like they could just slip right off and just completely fall out of the playoffs.
Remember when we thought that the Browns were going to go to the Super Bowl? Will we both pick them?
Mm-hmm.
That just feels so off right now. Baker Mayfield. I'm gonna keep saying I was so wrong about him. I know he's battling injury, but like, I don't. If you're out there, you're out there, right? And so if you're out there and you've gotten the start, I expect you to play and play well. And he hasn't played well in like, seems like a month and a half, 2 months, something like that. It's been a really long time since we've seen him have a good game. I don't expect the Browns to make the playoffs, and I kind of expect this. This is one of the teams that I would be expecting to go out and be looking to trade for a, like, you know, almost do like what they did with the Rams did with Jared Goff this offseason.
Yes.
And send Baker Mayfield to the Falcons or whatever team, and then get yourself a veteran that can kind of hopefully propel your contending team to prominence, hopefully.
Yeah, and no Donovan Peoples-Jones in this game either. I mean, Jarvis Landry has been battling a knee injury. He was in and out of the game. So, I mean, they were limited. I mean, no Kareem Hunt still. They were limited on offense. But, you know, I expected more out of their defense, which I know sounds, I guess, I don't know. Their defense just has been kind of lackluster for all the hype that they have and how good, you know, Myles Garrett is supposed to be. It feels like they should have locked down the Lions, and that should have been it. But
well, they did. They only scored 10 points.
I don't
really expect a shutout, you know, like that. Like, that's
who
not.
Who are the Lions? I mean, they had a backup quarterback.
DeAndre Swift is one of the better running backs in the game.
Yes, and that's it. So that's the only person you have to focus on.
I guess. I think in today's NFL, it's hard to hold teams to a shutout. I think holding a team to 10 points is a pretty strong defensive performance.
Well, a team that held the Tennessee Titans to 13 points, as everyone predicted, the Houston Texans hand the Tennessee Titans their third loss of the year. They're now 8-3. The Texans are 2-8. Tyrod Taylor, no interceptions, no touchdowns. Somehow this team just, I don't know if this says more about the Texans or the Titans. I feel like it's the Titans, and like I said, it's strengths and weaknesses. And you know, Ryan Tannehill is a weakness without Derrick Henry, who is their strength. Ryan Tannehill was 35 of 52, 323 yards, one touchdown, four interceptions.
Yeah, the four interceptions is killer.
Four interceptions is awful. I mean, that's just
Desmond
King, who was a former Titan, by the way, had two of those interceptions. So he had himself a day that I'm sure the Titans regretted immediately. So the Titans just look like they're in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like I said, I will say this, like the Texans, I mean, this is technically a divisional game. I know the Texans are, you know, bad, super bad. I think it says something about the Titans maybe taking their foot off the gas at times, because remember, they have another loss to the Jets earlier this year. Yep.
Cardinals, Jets, and now the Texans.
Yeah, it's just, well, look, you have no Julio Jones. You have no Derrick Henry. Your starting running back is either Adrian Peterson or Deonta Foreman. Yep. Like, I'm not trying to let Ryan Tannehill off the hook here, but like, if you don't have strong offensive weapons and AJ Brown's the only show in town, and defense is like, you know what, we're gonna put four guys on him, and you go ahead and beat us with whomever. I I don't even know who their second wide receiver is.
Nick Westbrook in Keene.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
Dontrell Hilliard, Chester Rogers.
Yeah. Like the Texans are not a good team, but if you start taking good players off of the Titans, they're not that much better than the Texans. But I will say the Titans, this is a team you've got to on defense. The defense has got to step up and be like, listen, we're not letting the Texans beat us. And that's where this is a team that should have been embarrassed by their performance.
Yeah. And I think the Titans, again, I kind of feel the same way about the Titans as I do as the Ravens, even more so for the Titans, because, you know, for the great season that Ryan Tannehill had last year, I mean, I think we saw that it's predicated on having a weapon like Derrick Henry right behind him.
In fairness, but that's almost every quarterback, right? Like almost every quarterback not named Tom Brady needs to have strong weapons to have a great season. And even Tom Brady needed to have strong weapons to have all-time great seasons. Like very few quarterbacks could go out there with just, you know, whatever, garbage and say, you know what, I'm going to just put it together and have a great season anyway.
Yeah, a lot of them don't throw four interceptions.
That's true. That's true.
You're right.
That's true.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, the game of the week, Minnesota Vikings beating the Green Bay Packers in, shockingly, another nail-biter, 34-31. This was a fun game. Kirk Cousins, three touchdowns, 341 yards. He almost lost the game at the very end with a interception that was called incomplete.
Yeah.
And that was, as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, no, come on. Rodgers had a game, 385 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. And Justin Jefferson making his case for best wide receiver in the NFC North right now, putting up your, and I'll give you credit, Jose, you loved him coming out of LSU, and you nailed it. Eight receptions, 169 yards, two touchdowns versus Davante Adams, who had seven receptions, 115 yards, and two touchdowns. So this was a great game from start to finish.
Yeah, and I don't want to take too much credit for Justin Jefferson. The guy's like 6'2", runs a 4.4, like 4.440, and catches everything. I mean, it's certain guys who's just like, if you don't succeed, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And you get the quarterback, you get the right landing spot. It was set up. I will say this though, you got to give hats off to Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. I did not expect them to win. I thought the Packers were going to come out and kind of just impose their dominance as they often do against other NFC North teams. The Vikings are starting to look interesting right now as a wild card team. Right now, if the playoffs, and we'll get to it, but if the playoffs were to start, they would be the number six seed and playing the Packers actually in round one playing the Buccaneers in round one. I've been impressed with the Vikings. I still think the Packers are fine. They're still going to win that division. Just a little speed bump here. Just one of those games, Vikings just were at home and kind of caught fire.
Yeah, the Vikings, I feel like the Vikings, if they just keep it together, they have so much talent on that team. And it feels like the Vikings could beat anyone or lose to anyone in the last 30 seconds of a game.
Yeah.
It's just they're right there at the end, no matter if they're playing a good team or a bad team. And I think that their potential is just sky high. I will say there was one catch, and I feel like, you know, Justin Jefferson obviously stole the show, but Adam Thielen still has to be considered top five best hands in the NFL. He had a catch where Cousins threw it to him, and it was probably about 6 inches from his head before he turned around and snatched it out of the air.
I know exactly
with 2 feet inbounds. It was ridiculous, that catch. So don't forget about him either. Another divisional game on the other side, the AFC, the Miami Dolphins beating the lowly New York Jets. Shockingly, Joe Flacco did not lead anyone to victory, 291 yards and two touchdowns. There's not a lot to say about this game. Tua, you know, threw his obligatory pick in this game. Miles Gaskin put up some decent numbers, 23 carries, 89 yards, but I mean, this game kind of went about as expected. You know, they're both kind of subpar teams. The Dolphins are underachievers. The Jets are just the Jets.
Yeah.
And Dolphins are now 4-7, and the Jets are 2-8, kind of vying for that number one overall pick next year.
Although the Lions probably have that locked up at this point.
Lions are looking pretty good, yeah.
I was just, I'm just, Dolphins are a bad team and they beat a really, really bad team. That's all I have to add.
Yeah. That's, and we'll, let's see, on that, we'll take a quick break. We're going to come back. We still have to talk Saints, Eagles, Washington, Panthers, Niners, Jags, Bengals, Raiders, Cardinals, Seahawks, and the Steelers and Chargers. So we have a lot to get to. And we'll get to that right after this on the Benchwarmers Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Benchwarmers Podcast. Follow along with us on the Benchwarmers Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you think or know you had COVID-19, you can be around others after 10 days since symptoms first appeared and after 24 hours with no fever without fever-reducing medication and after other symptoms have improved. If you have tested positive for COVID-19 and you had no symptoms, you can be around others 10 days after you got tested for COVID-19. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/coronavirus.
Welcome back to the Benchwarmers Podcast, where being all talk is actually a good thing. Now, back to the action. Or talk, I guess.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. Already in progress. I'm Lou Ruggieri. That's Jose Ortiz. This is the Benchwarmers Podcast. Go and listen to all of our other shows, iHeartRadio, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us along Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, at the Benchwarmers Podcast, at the BW Pod on Twitter, or go to thebenchwarmers.com and see all of those links and more on that site. More stuff coming up. Week 11, we have to look back on our picks. We have to make our Week 12 picks already. We have a playoff preview in just a bit, but now we're finishing up the extra point. We're mostly through the games. We just talked about, very briefly, the Dolphins and Jets, because that game really doesn't matter at this point in the season. A game that did matter a lot, actually, was the Saints and the Eagles. And this game, you know, a lot like we talked, like I just talked about with the Vikings, the Eagles feel like sometimes they just catch lightning in a bottle. I don't know what it is. Jalen Hurts, 3 rushing touchdowns, you know, no passing touchdowns. His passing wasn't that good, but he just was all over the place rushing the ball. 18 carries, 69 yards, and like I said, the 3 touchdowns. They dropped 40 points on what I thought was a good New Orleans Saints defense, who scored 29. The Saints are now 5-5. The Eagles now 5-6. The Saints, obviously, with Trevor Siemian at the quarterback, they had no Alvin Kamara, and they just have their sort of ragtag group of wide receivers that are essentially nameless. So I guess I'm not super surprised they lost this game, but I am surprised that Philly was able to put up 40 points.
Yeah, they were up 33-7 heading into the fourth quarter. So the 29 points by the Saints was not even really...
Yeah, 22 points scored in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's basically when they called the dogs off. You know, the Saints do have a strong defense, but I think that one thing that rushing quarterbacks do is it puts pressure on the defense in a different way than a traditional, you know, like a Patrick Mahomes or... Patrick Mahomes is pretty mobile too, but just a traditional pocket quarterback. I think sometimes it's just tough. A guy's faster than you. Like, what are you supposed to do? I'm a defensive end. This guy's running a 4.440. Yeah. I'm 290 pounds. I can't keep up with him. I will say, that said, though, I mean, listen, the Eagles, they're 5-6. They're right in the playoff hunt right now.
Yeah.
As far as the Saints, look, Alvin Kamara is their only really good player. Like, if you just look at that roster, Taysom Hill has some moments here and there. But you take away Alvin Kamara, it's basically their entire offense. So I'm not overly surprised that they lost. It is kind of eye-opening that they would have such a terrible offensive performance, though. The Saints are kind of one of these teams that I expect to drop out of the playoff contention relatively soon. But as you said about the Eagles, we'll see them next week just lay an egg. It's just kind of the very inconsistent team. And I think that's one of the hallmarks of bad teams, where one week they look good, another week they look bad. You can have a bunch of what ifs. So, well, if we had done this better, we'd done that better. Hats off to them for the win this week, but I'm not expecting too much for them.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, I feel like Jalen Hurts, I finally figured out who he kind of reminds me of. He reminds me of Josh Allen in like his first and second year right now, where Josh Allen, if you remember, was not an accurate passer. When he first got into the league, he was a big, strong, fast guy who was running more than he was throwing. And that's exactly what Jalen Hurts has been doing right now. Actually, Jalen Hurts first, he had five straight games of 50 plus rush yards. That's the longest streak for a Philly quarterback since
Donovan McNabb.
Nope. Randall Cunningham.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. 1990. Yeah. I thought McNabb and I thought maybe Vic, but nope.
I always forget about, I forget about Randall Cunningham, but it's like almost like two NFL generations ago. Yeah. Or three NFL generations, if you will.
Such a long time ago. Yeah, and the Saints, I don't know. I guess the Michael Thomas experiment is over. They just need a number one receiver on that team desperately. And, you know, they have to get their quarterback, assuming Jameis Winston is their quarterback back. I don't think Trevor Siemian is the answer. A guy who I decided was probably not the answer and made me think twice about it this time was Taylor Heinicke. The Washington football team beating the Carolina Panthers 27-21 in the Ron Rivera Revenge Bowl. The Cam Newton Revenge Bowl against his former coach was not to be. Washington, it felt like they played up to what their potential is. They have good skill position players. Terry McLaurin is a great wide receiver. Antonio Gibson is a very, very good running back. And you know, Taylor Heinicke on the high end has kind of a Brett Favre feel to him, and on the low end has kind of a bad Brett Favre.
Zach Wilson.
And this game, I was surprised that the Panthers' defense let up 27 points, but I mean, I guess Washington, you know, Ron Rivera does know that team pretty well, so on second look, it maybe isn't that surprising after all.
Yeah, I mean, look, first of all, Heinicke, I don't think he's the... Heinicke is a great backup quarterback, and that's really valuable in the NFL. I don't want to say it like a disparaging remark, right? Like, not everyone has what it takes to be a 17-game-a-year starter plus the postseason. Heinicke, to me, feels like he has very, like, kind of similar like Nick Foles, right? Like, he's got, like, six good games in him, and you just got to figure out when those games are. This is one of those games. I think we both picked the Panthers to win this game, and so it's a little surprising. But after I thought about it more, I mean, it's easy to look back and have hindsight, like, well, I shouldn't have thought that way. But yeah, you know, the Panthers were just getting started. I know that Cam Newton had been there in the past, but completely different team, different offense, different head coach, and so there has to be some sort of adjustment period. Washington. I mean, I think these are two pretty evenly matched teams, and you know, just that's, and Washington just happened to get the last laugh in this one. I actually thought that the Panthers early on looked like they were going to win the game, and then they just kind of, their offense just never really got rolling. So kind of hats off, really kudos to the Washington defense for keeping the Panthers in check.
Yeah. And an offense that got rolling is finally your San Francisco 49ers, who just laid the wood to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which in some respects isn't a great accomplishment because the Jacksonville Jaguars are 2-8 and the Niners are now 5-5. But Jaguars, I mean, you know, they stunned the Buffalo Bills last week.
Yeah.
So this was, this wasn't the game to be taken lightly. And it looks like the 49ers did not do that. And they had their full complement of receivers. You know, Brandon Ayuk was there. Debo Samuel is just the most underrated wide receiver in the league. George Kittle, nice to see him healthy and catching passes. And, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, no turnovers. So yeah, that's really all you can ask.
And the defense showed up well. Look, the 49ers aren't a good enough team to be looking past other teams. I mean, like, I'm a 49ers fan. Obviously, everyone knows I'm a 49ers fan. You can't look past other teams if you're under 500. Who are you to be looking past teams?
It's true.
So this is what I call a handling your business type of performance. The Jaguars are not a great team. 49ers went into Jacksonville and dismantled them easily, as they should have. And I'm very interested to see how the 49ers can build on this. They've won three of their last four games and now are tied for the number 7 seed in the NFC facing the Vikings next week. So, you know, it's getting interesting in the NFC right now.
Yeah, and that's going to be an interesting game because Kyle Shanahan, you know, his former quarterback in Washington was Kirk Cousins, so he knows him probably about as well as anyone. So I'm very curious to see this. That game could very easily go into overtime. I think I might call that one right now. A game that obviously did not go into overtime was the Cincinnati Bengals, and win another handle your business game against the just faltering Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders now 5-5, Cincinnati Bengals 6-4. And it just, I mean, obviously a lot of things have happened in the Raiders organization, but remember when Derek Carr was being touted as a potential MVP candidate?
Yeah, I mean, that was in three games. That was first three or four games of the season. That's why you got to wait the full 17.
And I remember saying very explicitly, let's talk in November when the Raiders come to town. And that's here we are, and here we are. So Raiders did what the Raiders usually do and lose in November, and the Bengals kind of got their footing back underneath them. They're now 6-4.
Yeah, this is exactly what you would expect. Nice use of the take care of business type of game. The Raiders just, look, you can only have so many things happen off the field and have it not take a toll on your team. I think clearly Henry Ruggs, John Gruden stuff just has impacted this team. They're just not very good right now. And the Bengals coming off the bye, I think, were just angry. they had just lost to the Jets two weeks earlier. And then I forget who they lost to going into the bye. They were just coming out here and just said, listen, we are a better team than them. And they handled their business. So, the Bengals are 6-4, looking like strong likelihood to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and the Raiders, like I said, are 5-5, which is crazy to think that this next team is
Were 5-2 at one point. Sorry.
Yeah, that this next team is actually two games behind them in the score. I mean, that's a different team, but the Seattle Seahawks are now 3-7.
They're just a bad team.
Is just crazy. They lost to the Kyle Murray-less Cardinals, the DeAndre Hopkins-less Cardinals, who are now 9-2. Colt McCoy, of course, showing up Russell Wilson, as everyone would have expected. 35 of 44, 328 yards. I think it's his third 300-yard game of his career. Two touchdowns, no interceptions. Russell Wilson, I don't even know what to say about the Seahawks. They could not get their running game going. They could not get their passing game going. You know, Tyler Lockett had four receptions for 115 yards, which I guess is good. DK Metcalf was, I guess he was on the field. I don't know. He did much. And they just, they couldn't do anything offensively in any which way.
You know, what I think happened to the Seahawks this year, aside from Russell Wilson getting injured, obviously that's going to make an impact. You know, you and I were talking a lot during the offseason about what happens when you pay a quarterback. And I always say, listen, you've got to make good draft picks. If you're whoever you pay, quarterback, running back, whomever you pay, you've got to then back it up by making great draft picks so that way you don't end up having one or two good players. And that's exactly what the Seahawks did not do. They drafted DK Metcalf, great. But outside of that, they've had a bunch of whiffs, and now you're looking at a team that's barely holding it together and basically just falling apart. They're just a bad team. The Cardinals, a complete opposite, where they have a strong team throughout. You're able to win games without two of your best players. Seahawks are one of the worst teams in the NFL, and I did not think I could ever imagine myself saying that with Russell Wilson as their quarterback.
Yeah, Wilson also was sacked four times in this game. Yeah. So it's just their offensive line woes continue. Their running game is just non-existent. And it feels like Pete Carroll just doesn't know how to adjust. It's just not good. And the Cardinals are just, I mean, if they're this good without their two best players, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see when those guys come back. It's going to be a whole other team.
Any chance that Pete Carroll gets fired this offseason, you think?
I mean, the USC job's open, so.
Look at you keeping your finger your finger on the pulse of college football.
Yeah, I don't know if he's allowed to go back there, but I mean, that I could see him
That's a good point.
Just get out of here. It wouldn't. I don't think that the Seahawks would do that. I think Pete Carroll's the oldest coach in the NFL right now, so I could see him just kind of hanging it up at some point and just being done.
He might get 1 year. He might get one more year, hot seat year kind of.
I mean, Russell Wilson, I don't know that he's going to be there next year. I mean, we talked about Baker Mayfield and the Browns. I mean, if you put Russell Wilson on that team, I don't know that they could afford him, but I mean, I'd love to see what that team could do with a quarterback like Russell Wilson. But yeah. Speaking of good quarterback play, the Los Angeles Chargers, our final game in the extra point, beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in the final score came closer than it should have. I mean, the Steelers scored 27 points in the fourth quarter to kind of make this a game at the end, but the Chargers put up 41 points and basically handled the Steelers throughout most of this game. Steelers were without basically all of their top defensive players. Minkah Fitzpatrick was not there. TJ Watt was not there. There was a couple of the guys that were missing from the starting lineup. So the Chargers just did what they are capable of doing. And, you know, Austin Ekeler, Justin Herbert, everybody on that team just got involved and they just put a thrashing on the Steelers.
It was a complete offensive performance from the Chargers. Everything you want to see from an offense that's supposed to be an elite level offense. I will just say that I would be worried about their defense. And if I'm the Chargers, I'm very worried about my defense and how I can our ability to stop teams, because the Steelers were moving the ball, and especially late in that game, I would definitely be worried about that. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger got three touchdown passes. If you allow Ben Roethlisberger, old man Big Ben, to get three touchdowns at this point in his career, that's a bad performance.
Yeah, and I mean, on the offensive side of the ball, if Deebo Samuel is the most underrated wide receiver, I think Austin Ekeler is the most underrated running back. He runs the ball. He had two rushing touchdowns. He had two receiving touchdowns. And he had, 115 yards, I think, of scrimmage yards. Just a monster. And he doesn't get the credit that he deserves. So that's the extra point. So that's going to do it. We can move right on, actually, to our playoff preview, I suppose.
All right. Yeah, so I'm just going to go ahead and start in the AFC. I'm going to run it down right here. Number one seed, the Titans. Number two, the Ravens. Number three, the Patriots. Number four, the Chiefs. Then our wild card teams, the Bengals, the Chargers, and the Bills. On the outside looking in right now, we'll just go to the teams that are within one game. The Steelers are the 8 seed. The Colts are the 9 seed. And the Browns are the 10 seed. Browns are 6-5. Bills are 6-4. And the Bills are the number 7 seed. Browns are number 10 seed. So, the Raiders and Broncos at 5-5 are both technically alive still at 11-12.
Yeah, so, that feels like a pretty big line.
Yeah.
Demarcation there.
Yeah. Of those top 7 teams, Titans, Ravens, Patriots, Chiefs, Bengals, Chargers, Bills, which one does not belong?
I mean, this is going to sound crazy, but I think by the end of the year, I think the Titans and the Colts are going to switch positions. The Colts are technically at ninth right now at 6-5, and the Titans are first with at 8-3. But I just don't see how the Titans can overcome, because Julio Jones he's on IR now, so he's not coming back until I think week 13 or even later. And they don't have a running game anymore. And Ryan Tannehill has been proving kind of the last couple of weeks that he is not capable of taking this team on his back and winning with his arm solely. And that team is just, I feel like they're in for a very precipitous fall, and the Colts seem like they're finally putting it all together and they're ascending. So at the end, I do think that the Titans and the Colts are going to switch.
I would think that too. And that was my initial thought, but the one thing against the Colts right now is that they've lost both games to the Titans already this season. So like if they were playing each other later, it was like, oh, all you have to do is get one win. And they went, so now they technically almost have a 3-game lead on the Colts. But that of all the teams that are out of the playoffs and in the playoffs, it does feel like the Colts deserve a spot somewhere. I don't know whose spot they're taking, but it does feel like the Colts are taking someone's spot. I don't know if I see the Titans falling all the way out of the playoffs. That's the one thing. It's, you know, we've already played 11 games. For them to fall all the way out of the playoffs, I think they'd have to go like 2-4 down the stretch or something. And I don't even know if that would be, or 2-6, I should say, down the stretch. I don't even know if that should be enough. But all right, here's my next question on the AFC. Which team do you think is the best team in the AFC right now? Of all the top 7 teams, and you can even include some of the other ones, who is your number one seed?
I mean, you know, recency bias, it's hard to say. I mean, the best team top to bottom, I think, might be the Colts right now. It's the Colts or the Patriots, honestly. The Patriots, I'm a little skeptical because, you know, Mac Jones is kind of a liability. The Colts just, like, I mean, I keep saying it, I'm like beating a dead horse, but the Colts, and no pun intended with Colts, but they have the formula. You know, they have just the best running back in the league. They have the best offensive line in the league, and they have a quarterback who's not turning the ball over. I mean, and they have a defense good enough to keep them in the game. That's how you win.
I actually think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC right now. Like, just after this last performance against the Cowboys, they've been getting better and better over the last. I think they've won four in a row. I think the Colts are right there too. But I think if I were picking, like, who I think is the number one seed, the best team, I think I'm still rolling with the Chiefs right now.
Yeah, if their defense can stay at a higher level like they've been doing recently, then yeah, they're going to be really tough to beat. And it was nice to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire back, and that certainly made a big difference.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the NFC, because I know we have to make our Week 12 picks already. I can't believe we're already, like, so close to the end of the season.
I know.
Number one seed, Arizona, and let's go straight down. Arizona, Packers, Cowboys, Buccaneers, Rams, Vikings, Saints. Those are your top seven teams. The NFC is a little bit closer because you have the 49ers. The number six and seven team, number six and seven seeds are both 5-5. So Vikings are 5-5, Saints are 5-5. 49ers are 8 seed, they're 5-5. Eagles are the 9 seed, they're 5-6. Panthers are the 10 seed, they're 5-6. And honestly, I mean, it seems like a long shot, but Washington and the Falcons are both 4-6, and they're technically alive as well. So, I guess my of the top seven teams, which ones don't belong in your opinion?
I think the Saints are going to fall out of that picture. It seems kind of inevitable, and I think. Call it my NFC East intuition. I think the Eagles are going to find a way to creep up into that eighth spot. I think the Niners could probably pull up into the seventh spot, and then the Saints are just going to fall out of contention. I don't see Washington making enough of a rally to come back from 4-6. I think the rest of those teams. And the Panthers, I don't know what to say about the Panthers. I don't believe in Cam Newton. I think it's a nice story. It's a fun idea. I'm glad that he was able to come back and kind of take his victory lap. But I don't think that he's the answer either. I don't know who is at this point, but the Eagles seem like they're trending in the right direction. So I think the Saints are the team that doesn't belong. And the Eagles, unfortunately, as a Dallas fan, are a team that probably does belong.
I'm going to say that I don't think the Eagles make it to the playoffs, but I do think that they're going to make things interesting down the stretch. The Panthers are definitely not a playoff team. They need to be looking to draft a quarterback next year. If I don't know how good the quarterback class is, but that's probably where they need to go, or be one of these teams that trades for Matt Ryan, possibly, although I don't know if they would trade in division. It's the Saints, definitely. I do wonder about the Vikings, though, just because – the Vikings are one of these teams where once you're ready to buy in, like, oh, they're good, then they'll just go out and just play a terrible game. So I'm just not sure about the Vikings. I kind of feel like, and this is me being a fan, but I feel like the 49ers are primed to take that seventh seed and maybe even jump into the sixth seed. The 49ers play the Vikings this week, so they have the opportunity to do so. They're getting healthy at the right time. The Seahawks are falling apart. They've already got a win against the Rams. The 49ers look like a team to me that could maybe creep up into the number six seed and possibly give some teams. Oh, my goodness. I think if they were the sixth seed, they would play the Cowboys in round one, I believe.
No, see, we'd have to take a break from the show for a week. Although we'll see, because this week the Niners and the Vikings square off. And I think that game, I mean, that's going to be a game of two kind of, at least in my mind, questionable quarterbacks. I think between Absolutely. The two, I guess Kirk Cousins has been playing a lot better than Jimmy Garoppolo. But, you know, the coaching for the 49ers has been markedly better than the Vikings. I think if they swap coaches, I think the Vikings could win the Super Bowl, quite honestly. with the talent they have. But
I'm gonna just back off a little bit because I think the Vikings, Kirk Cousins is clearly better than Jimmy Garoppolo to me, but you know, I do think the 49ers have a stronger top to bottom roster. It's tough when the Vikings have Justin Jefferson, like one of the best wide receivers in the game, and Adam Thielen, who both of them are better than any receiver. Well, Debo, I don't know. Both of them probably would start for the 49ers right now. All right, last question on the NFC. Who is your number one team? Who is the best team in the NFC right now? I think I lean towards the Arizona Cardinals, just what they've been able to do without Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins over the last 3 weeks.
I mean, it's hard to say otherwise. It really is. I mean, Colt McCoy has been keeping them afloat. They're 9-2, and they've been without their starting quarterback for, three games now?
Yeah.
So, it's hard to say it's not them. I mean, the Packers, are good, but, you know, Aaron Jones now with the knee, he should come back, but they just lost to the Vikings. And it feels like the Vikings could beat any of these teams on any given day. And yep. I don't know what to say about the Bucks right now. They lost a weird game coming off a bye to Washington last week. They're letting the Giants stay in the game right now on Monday Night Football, full disclosure. And so I don't know what's going on with them either. And the Cowboys, I would have said the Cowboys, except they just put up 9 points against the Chiefs. So
I don't think the Cowboys, I will give you this about the Cowboys. They're a good team. I don't think they're a great team. And that's the issue. But there's not that many great teams in the NFL. So
this is very true. Yeah. So that's a playoff preview. I feel like we're a little ahead of the game, but we'll see. We can kind of,
we're going to be talking playoffs all rest of the season, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see kind of how those go from here, from this point forward. So let's take a quick break and we'll come back. And then we have to look ahead. It's already time to make our week 12 picks. So stick around for that and more right after this on the Benchwarmers podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Benchwarmers podcast. Follow along with us on the Benchwarmers podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, take steps to help protect other people from getting sick. Stay home except to get medical care. Call the doctor before visiting. Separate yourself from others who live with you. Wear a cloth face covering to protect others. Cover your coughs and sneezes with a tissue and clean your hands right away. Avoid sharing items with other people in your home. This includes things like towels and bedding. Be sure dishes are washed in hot water or the dishwasher before anyone else uses them. Stay aware of how you feel. If you start to have difficulty breathing or if you're worried about your health, call your doctor. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
And now back to the Benchwarmers podcast with Lou and Jose.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. I am Lou Ruggieri. That is Jose Ortiz. And this is season 2, episode 30, coming to a close. Go back and listen to the beginning of this show, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts, Anchor, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Come follow us along. Follow, rate, review. We need all the support we can get. We went through each and every game from week 11 in our extra point. We did a little kind of early playoff preview in the last segment. And now it's time to move forward. We got to make our picks. First we can look back and see how we did in week 11 with our picks. We have our put your money where your mouth is, our sports book bet of the week. And I think I did all right. I remember taking the Colts.
Yeah. You're fine. You took the Colts plus 7 at Buffalo.
Colts didn't really need the 7.
Yeah. You could have taken the Colts minus 7 if you really wanted to. They destroyed Buffalo Bills. You're now 7-4 and putting your money where your mouth is this week. I, on the other hand, I just don't understand. I can't see. I think I've lost 7 in a row. Because I think at one point I was 2-2, feeling decent. And then it's just fallen apart. I picked the Packers minus 2.5. I just thought, hey, I think the Packers are going to win this game. That's all. It wasn't really even like a big spread. I just thought they'll probably win the game. Obviously wrong. The Packers did not win. I am now 2-9 in my picks, which is very embarrassing. I'm going to roll the dice again and take the Patriots minus 5.5 at home versus the Titans.
I was looking at that one, and I think that's a, I do think, I'm not trying to jinx you, I think that's a good bet because we just saw Ryan Tannehill throw four interceptions.
Yeah. I mean, and if you can't beat the you can't beat the Texans, how are you going to beat the Patriots?
Yeah. Although the Texans did put up a good fight against the Patriots earlier in the year, if you remember. Mm. But yeah, I mean, Bill Belichick takes away the one weapon that you do have, which is A.J. Brown, and that's it. So you take away A.J. Brown from the Titans, and that's not a good team. I mean, Adrian Peterson's not, it's not 2012 anymore. So yeah. I think that's a good pick. I am rolling with the Colts. Colts are getting 2.5 points at home against the Buccaneers. And I don't know. I just, maybe I'm just feeling the Colts a little too much, but I'm letting it ride here. I don't. The Bucs, I mean, the Bucs look like they're doing pretty good this week against the Giants, but they're playing the Giants, not the Colts. And unlike the Giants, the Colts running back is fully healthy and very capable of sustained success. And so give me the Colts. I'm going with them back-to-back weeks, plus 2.5 points. Easy money.
Okay. I like that pick because I'll talk about it later, but I think the Colts are probably going to win this game. But all right. Week 12 picks. Week 11 picks. I was 10-4. We were both 10-4.
Nice.
I maintain a one game lead of 96-66-1. And you are 95-67-1 because obviously there was a tie.
Yep.
All right. So let's go ahead and get into our week 12 picks. We've got three Thanksgiving Day games, Bears at Lions. Obviously, you're taking the Bears, right?
Is Jared Goff going to be playing? That's the only thing. I've been kind of like looking around to see if there's any news on him, and it seems like it's still kind of up in the air. I want to take the Lions so badly here. I do. It's on Thanksgiving. I can't do it. I can't do it. Give me the Bears.
Yeah, I don't know what the Lions' record is on Thanksgiving the past few years, but it cannot be good. They can't have a good record on Thanksgiving. Even it's just an embarrassment. All right, how about the Raiders at the Cowboys? I'm assuming you're taking the Cowboys here.
I know. Yeah, of course.
Now, there is a chance that they're going to be without Amari Cooper, and CeeDee Lamb is in the concussion protocol, probably unlikely to clear by Thursday, but I still think they have enough to beat the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders are still the Raiders, so.
Yep. Buffalo Bills at New Orleans. My initial pick is the Bills here. It's not a slam dunk, especially because it's in New Orleans, but I do think the Bills kind of have a get-right-I'm-angry game.
Yeah, I think the Bills – I just think Trevor Siemian's going to make a couple mistakes here, and the Bills' defense is going to resuscitate this team back to normalcy.
Okay, we both picked Bills. Steelers at Bengals.
I'm going to go Bengals because I'm not sure about the status of all those defensive players on the Steelers, J.J. Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and – the like. So I think that even if they are playing, they might not be 100%. So I think the Bengals have something to prove here.
Yeah, I'm going to go Bengals too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's about punching you're going to punch the bully. You're going to punch your big brother in you want to win the fight against your big brother here. You know, the Steelers have just been beating them up. Finally, you have a chance. The Steelers are vulnerable. You're looking good. This is your opportunity. Now we start getting to some really good games here. Bucks at Colts. I'll tell you right now, I think I'm taking the Colts. I'm not 100% confident about it, but I think I'm taking the Colts.
Yeah, I like the Colts. I mean, I've said it 1,000 times this show, but they have the formula. And the Bucks are kind of like the Bills a little bit. They're one-dimensional. They don't really run the ball. They have a great passing attack, but you know, the Colts have the formula. The best way to beat Tom Brady is to keep him off the field, and they can do that.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. Panthers at Dolphins.
Ugh.
I think I'm taking the Panthers here. The Dolphins haven't been very good at stopping the run. Panthers. I think this is a good game for the Panthers.
This one, I you know, it's funny because with Cam Newton, I don't know what to expect. The Dolphins. I'll go with the Dolphins.
Okay.
I'll take the Dolphins. I think their defense is going to show up and Tua is going to do enough to win the game.
Okay. Titans at Patriots. I know I'm taking the Patriots.
For sure.
Yeah. It's hard to take the Titans in a game against an actual good team.
At home, yeah.
Yeah. How about the Eagles at the Giants? I think it's the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm going Eagles. I don't even think this is particularly close.
But you know what? I would agree with you, but I would not be at all surprised if the Giants show up and win this game. It's a divisional game. Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm going to take the Eagles. I think they're the better team, but man. Falcons at Jaguars.
Wow.
I think I'm taking the Falcons.
No.
I'm taking the Jaguars. Give me the Jaguars here.
I mean, if nobody watches this game, does it really happen? Like, do they just strike it from the record? Is it not? I mean, my God, can they just flex out of this game completely? Can we just not?
Just don't play this game.
Yeah,
just don't play this game.
Everybody go.
No one collects a paycheck for this week.
Give me the Jaguars. I'm going to go with the other Josh Allen to make a mockery of Matt Ryan.
Okay, so speaking of flexing out of games.
If Trevor Lawrence can win a game, it's going to be against the Falcons.
Jets at Texans.
Oh, God.
Like I'm taking the Texans because as bad as the Texans are, the Jets are worse. So,
I mean, can we... Oh, man. And I think Carter's probably not playing, right?
So, yeah, Michael Carter's out for 2 weeks with a sprained ankle.
Joe Flacco. Yeah, I'll go Texans.
Yeah, you can't really pick the Jets here.
Texans surging after that stunning upset against the Titans.
Chargers at Broncos. Broncos just signed Courtland Sutton to a 4-year extension. I think around $80 million. To double check the numbers, but just. Just to throw that news out there, he just signed a multi-year extension.
Yeah, another division game, but I think the Chargers are the better team here.
Yep, absolutely. Now the Broncos are coming off of a bye, and I usually like teams coming off byes, but it's definitely the Chargers. Rams at Packers for a potential game of the week.
I mean, this could be NFC Championship preview right
here. Yeah, I think I'm going to take the Rams here. They're coming off of a bye. The Packers looked vulnerable on defense. I think it's at home, and it could be bad. You know, it's in Green Bay, so you never know the bad weather or whatever. But early in the week, not knowing the weather, I'm going to take the Rams.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go Packers. I thought I would have one on here, but I'm going to take the Rams too. I think the big matchup, it's Jalen Ramsey and Devontae Adams. If Jalen Ramsey can... do what he does against most receivers, I think the Packers are in a lot of trouble very quickly.
Yeah, I don't expect Jalen Ramsey to be that effective against Devontae Adams. He's a monster, and he's going to get his. I actually think it's the receivers on the Rams. Like, I just don't know what the Packers are going to do to stop the Rams on defense when you've got Cooper Kupp and you've got, you know, Matthew Stafford. Well, I don't want to use Beckham as a...
You still have to account for him.
Yeah, I guess you have to account for him. You know, Darrell Henderson's been playing decently at running back. I just don't know what the Packers are going to do against them on defense. So that's why I'm taking the Rams. Vikings at 49ers. I'm just going to roll with my boys and taking the 49ers here. It's a tough game. Basically, potential playoff spot on the line here. So
this game is going into overtime. There's no chance that this game doesn't go into overtime.
I really don't want that. I want this to be like a blowout where the 49ers.
I'm going with the Vikings. I'll take the Vikings. I think the Vikings are starting to feel it a little bit. And I mean, I think that they're a better team than the Niners are right now. I mean, offensively, they're pretty even offensively. I mean, they both have, you know, like three to four really, really special guys on their offense. But I think defensively, I think the Vikings are a little better. It's hard to quantify. I just think the Vikings are starting to get it.
Okay. All right. So Sunday Night Football, Browns at Baltimore. I'll let you go first.
I'm going to go with the Ravens. Yeah. I think I don't, Baker Mayfield has been banged up. Lamar Jackson, I assume, should be back by next week. Hollywood Brown, I believe, should be back next week. And just the Browns just seem like the wheels are starting to fall off a little bit. I mean, they have a good running game with Nick Chubb, but that's really about it. Jarvis Landry's been kind of just snake bitten with, kind of these minor injuries over the course of the year. And the Ravens just seem to find a way, especially at home. They just have some kind of, magic, and that seems to be the way. So they didn't. Of course, the last time I said that, they got blown out at home by the Bengals. But I think the Browns and Bengals are decidedly different teams at this point in the season.
Yeah, the Browns just barely beat the Lions. They were basically at full strength. So
yeah,
give me the Ravens. And then our last one, which I mean, it's as far as Monday Night Football games, this is not one I'm looking forward to. The Seahawks at the Washington Football Team. I mean, I guess it's okay, but
can they flex out of Monday night games? Is that a thing
no,
they can do now?
It's only Sunday night.
Sunday night, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Washington.
Yeah, it's how can you pick the Ravens? I mean, how can you pick the Seahawks after what we've seen the last 2 weeks? I'm not even sure that the Seahawks are going to hit 200 yards of total offense. Like that's how bad they've been.
This is just not good. I mean, Bobby Wagner's, great, but Jamal Adams he feels like he's just more in the box kind of as another linebacker than he is as a safety sometimes. And I think Washington's skill position players are just too good.
Yeah. All right, well, that's all our games. I've got the 49ers. You've got the Vikings. I've got the – wait, where else were we different? I've got the Panthers. You've got the Dolphins. And that's basically the only places we're different.
I got the Jaguars. Was that the other one?
We both had the Jaguars. So.
Oh, we do. That's right. I thought I took the Falcons. Okay.
No.
All right,
no.
So
I started with the Falcons, and then I was like, what am I thinking? I'm thinking the Jaguars.
So. And yeah, I just saw that Jared Goff is probably not going to play Thursday, so I'm sticking with the Bears. I was thinking about taking the Lions, but not going
to
happen.
I'm going to make the Lions prove it to me before I take them once.
They have to win one. They have to.
I don't know.
They don't have to, but they have to. But
I don't
we'll
know.
See. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving,
yeah,
Jose, and to everyone else out there. This should be a great day. Thanksgiving, best holiday of the year. Food, family, football. What more can you possibly need? So we'll talk to you next week. This has been Season 2, Episode 30. And for Jose Ortiz, I am Lou Ruggieri, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.